Last time that we were together on the pastor study, we began to look at and study the great doctrine of the Bible, the Trinity. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time. But before we do that, before we begin, as always, let us go together to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to come to open up and study thy word. And Father, as we study this great Bible doctrine, the Trinity, Father, open up our minds and our hearts, enlighten us as we go through these verses of Scripture, Lord, as we study thy word. Help us to see some things that maybe we've never seen before. And Father, help our study not to be in vain or waste of time, Lord, but to take what we have to be able to contend for the faith, Lord, and be able to show people what we believe and why we believe it. Amen. Not just because the preacher says it or Brother Gino says it, but thus saith the Scriptures. And Father, we pray if there's a lost soul listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray this would be the very day of their salvation, that they realize that they're a sinner on their way to hell because of their sin. But they believe from their heart, believe on Christ, believe he died. He died for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day to pay the penalty for their sins. Father, now, bless our time together this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last time we began to look at the essence of the Godhead, things that are attributed to all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we saw that sovereignty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are sovereign. Now, all three are also righteous. Righteous. Let's look at some scriptures, verses that show that the Father is righteous. Let's turn first to Isaiah 51. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 8. Isaiah 51:8. We read, "For the mouth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." And of course, in the context, God the Father is speaking. Let's look in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." And again, good or righteous. So here we have the account of the rich young ruler coming to Jesus and asking him how he may inherit eternal life. And he calls him good master. And he says, "Why callest me thou good? There is only one that is good, that's God." Let's look also in John chapter 17. Now these are all references to show that righteousness or goodness is attributed to God the Father. Let's look at John chapter 17, verse 25. And of course, John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer as he prays to his Father. And he says, "O righteous Father." See that? "O righteous Father." So here we see that righteousness, goodness is attributed to the Father. It's also attributed to the Son. He is also righteous. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 with me. Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 26. for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Even though we don't see the word righteous, that's what the indication is here. That's what the inference is, that the Son is righteous. Look at in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, notice, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There it is. The word righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Look in 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me, in verse number 21. And of course, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. For he, that's the he here is a reference to God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So what this verse is speaking about is God made his Son, who was sinless, to be sin. Why? So that God's righteousness, the Son's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, could be imputed to us, so we could possess it. Everyone that's saved, amen, has the imputed righteousness of God because of what Jesus did on that cross at Calvary. He became sin for us who knew no sin. Amen. Let's look at, so we see that God the Father is righteous, God the Son is righteous, also God the Holy Spirit is righteous. Let's look in Isaiah 63:10. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. See? Isaiah 63:10. So we see if God the Father is righteous, amen, then obviously God the Holy Spirit is righteous. Look at in John chapter 16 and verse 8. We have a reference to the Holy Spirit here. John chapter 16. In John chapter 16 and verse number 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we see that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is righteous. Another thing that's attributed to all three is justice. All three are just. Amen? Look at God the Father. Deuteronomy 32 with me. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So we see that justice, or God the Father, is just. Look in Nehemiah chapter 9 with me. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 33. Howbeit thou art just, and all that is brought upon you, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. So we see here, this verse is referring to God. He has done. He is just. Amen. He has done right, even though they had done wickedly. Look also now at God the Son. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy, with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 8. Henceforth, Paul writes, says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, and he's referring to Jesus here, the righteous judge, amen, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And of course, here's one of the rewards, one of the crowns we're going to get if you love Christ's appearing, is the crown of righteousness. But we want to see here that he is a righteous judge. Jesus is a just judge, amen. So again, justice is not only a tribute to God the Father, but also God the Son. Looking in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 with me. In John chapter 5, look at verse 27. John chapter 5, verse 27, we read, and he hath given him authority to exercise judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. For as the Father, in verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and he hath given him authority to execute what? Judgment. Also, because he is the Son of Man. So we see then judgment or justice is attributed to God the Son. Now, how about God the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16 again, verse 8, we just looked at that he would come into the world. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 8, referring to the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Amen. Judgment. And then in Isaiah chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Spirit of judgment, spirit of burning is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we see then justice is attributed to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now another thing attributed to all three is love. Amen. God the Father is love. Amen. Love is attributed to the Father, the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Let's look at John 3:16. Amen. I'm sure everyone listening, or mostly everyone listening, is familiar with John 3:16. Here is ultimate love. For God so loved the world that he gave. When you love someone, you give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Let me give you another reference where love is attributed to the Father. We won't go there because I have quite a few things I want to cover in our study, and we're halfway through our time already, believe it or not. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Now let's look at the Son, John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse number 31. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. Looking in John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. We need to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay, let's look also at love is 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Look at God the Holy Spirit. Love is attributed to him as well. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you. Verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So we see that love is attributed to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, eternal life is attributed to all three. First of all, God the Father in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1. And we want to look at verse number 2. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So we see eternal life is attributed to God the Father. Also, another reference for the Father is Isaiah 48, verse 16. Also, God the Son, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Again, some references to show how eternal life is attributed to God the Son. Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 and 11. Revelation 21, verse 6, and Revelation 22, 13. All right, eternal life is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride said, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Then also in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through, here it is, the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Another reference for eternal life being attributed to the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. So we see eternal life was attributed to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, we see that each one is omnipresent, or present everywhere. Look with me, first of all, for God the Father. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 with me, if you would, and verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord, and of course the Lord here is in all capital letters, reference to God the Father, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we see that God the Father is omnipresent. How about the Son? Look in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 with me. And in verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That's indicating he's ever present. He's everywhere. How about God the Son? I'm sorry, God the Holy Spirit. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 with me. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. King David is writing this psalm. He's saying, where can I be to be out of the presence of God's spirit? And he says, wherever I go, he's there. So we see then, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are omnipresent, or they're present everywhere. Also, all three are omniscient, or all-knowing. Omniscient, or all-knowing. Let's look at first at God the Father in Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37 with me. Job 37, verse 16. We read, Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds and wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Referring to God the Father, he's perfect in knowledge. He's all-knowing. Look also in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 with me. In Matthew chapter 6, we want to look at verse number 8 together in Matthew 6. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. Again, showing, amen, that God the Father is all-knowing. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. showing that he's all-knowing again. Let me give you one more last reference that you can look up on your own, showing that the God the Father is all-knowing or omniscient. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. Now let's look at the Son. He is also all-knowing. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And in John chapter 18, we want to look at verse number 4. Jesus therefore knowing all things. See that? Jesus therefore knowing all things that should come upon and went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Again, Jesus therefore knowing all things. We see that Jesus is also all-knowing. Let me give you a couple of more references that show that Jesus is omniscient or all-knowing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, and John chapter 2, verse 25. Also, the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. Isaiah chapter 11 with me. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. And when we get to Isaiah 11, I want us to look together at verse number 2. Isaiah 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord, reference Holy Spirit, shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So again, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are omniscient, are all-knowing. They're also omnipotent, are all-powerful. Let's look, first of all, at the Father. And we need to turn to Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? He's all-powerful. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we see the Father is all-powerful, and also the Son, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And then, finally, God the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Also, some other verses that show that God the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. Zechariah 4:6, Acts 1:8. We're running quickly out of time. All three are also have immutability, or they do not change. The Father, let me give you a reference to show that he's unchangeable. 1 Kings 8:46, James 1, verse 17. For the Son is unchangeable. 2 Timothy 2:13, Hebrews 13:8. The Holy Spirit does not change. 1 Corinthians 2:13, John 14, verse 16. So all three are attributed immutability. They do not change. They're unchangeable. Well, again, we've run out of time here on the Pastor's Study. And that concludes our study on the Great Bible Doctrine of the Trinity. This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.